Thank you, Scott. And thank you, Praise Team, for leading us in this time of worship together. Now, I've already mentioned, I know, Time Change Sunday, but when you get to this point in the day, after losing that hour of sleep, you might want to just kind of stretch out just a minute here, or maybe turn to your neighbor and say, "You look like you lost an hour of sleep last night." I remember several years ago on Time Change Sunday, I dreamed I was preaching, and I woke up and I was. I hope that doesn't happen to me tonight or to you as well. But again, thank you for being here this day. Hasn't this Anchor Verse series been such a tremendous blessing in our lives of listening to all of those that have already preached in this series? And we have four more of these sermons to go. If I remember correctly, we've still yet to hear from Justin Law and from Caden Lockett and from Andrew Mingus and from Jay Wolf. Jay will close out this series, and of course we have some special services mixed in with that, but we have four more of these Anchor Verse series. And how about last week with the Anchor Hymns? Did you enjoy that? It's a tremendous blessing. Brad, thank you for all your leadership and all the work that you did regarding that. Well, let me ask you a question tonight. What is your anchor verse? What is your anchor verse? Now, on April the 10th, 2022, we came back into this room after all of the fire and the renovation, and we wrote our scripture passages on the floor. And I've got a couple of pictures of those tonight. And so as we entered into the room that day, you see different ones of us here writing our scripture passage on the floor. Perhaps this was your anchor verse that you were writing down. Got another shot here of some more folks here, different angle, that same day of us writing on the floor. And then finally, I believe I have one of Jay as well here, just a close-up of Jay writing his scripture passages. And I wanted to use this one because I'm going to also refer to this beforehand. So all of this was from April the 10th, 2022, when we came in this room. How many of you were here that day? All right, great. Well, we also did this in December of 2003, when we came into this room for the very first time. How many of you were here that day? All right, still a good number of you present. Well, I came on board here at First Baptist in August of 2003, and one of the first assignments that Jay gave me was to head up the relocation of this church from the old sanctuary to the new sanctuary. We called it the New Era Team, in trying to literally relocate the church. Even though we were only moving, you know, just 100 yards or so, it was still a big, big deal for First Baptist Church to move out of a 1905 sanctuary into this sanctuary in 2004. And in December of 2003, we came into this room. There was no HVAC, it was just concrete floors, hard ceilings. And we came in and we wrote our scripture passages, our life verses, on the floor of this room. And we encouraged people to write those verses where you thought you might sit. You know, if you're going to sing in the choir, write it up there. If you thought you might sit in the balcony, write it up there. So people were all over the room. Well, as I began to prepare for that, I was like, what verse am I going to write on the floor? And in my Bible study one day, I ran across Colossians 3:17. Now, at that time, I did not know if I would ever have the opportunity of standing here behind this pulpit and preaching a sermon in this church or not. Again, I'd only been here about 4 months at that time. And I knew that those verses that you saw Jay writing on that from 2022, he also wrote right here in 2003, behind the pulpit in this area. And so I knew that Jay would write here, and so I just got over this way, and I wrote on the floor, right along where I'm standing right now, Colossians 3:17. Now, I stand before you tonight and say that since December of 2003, that has been my life verse. It is my goal each morning when I get up and my feet hit the floor to fulfill that verse in my life and how I live that day. Now, I also stand before you and say there are times when I fail dismally in accomplishing that goal. Other times, days go well, and I follow the Lord's leadership in my life. But whatever the case, it is always my goal to follow Colossians 3:17. Now, I have printed this on your outline tonight, and let's read Colossians 3:17 together in the ESV. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians 3:17. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together and for the opportunity of studying your word. I ask that during these minutes together that you will get me out of the way and that you will use these words as your words, and may we apply your word to our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, in our remaining time, I'd like for you to open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to look at a portion of Colossians chapter 3 and also a portion of Philippians chapter 3 as well as another verse, that passage that is very important to me. But we'll start with the Colossians passage here, looking at chapter 3. Now, in the book of Acts, Luke does not give us any hint of the Apostle Paul going to Colossae on his missionary journeys. However, he certainly knew them and was thankful for them and for their faith and their love. And when you start off reading the book of Colossians, you find that Paul's theme is for the supremacy of Christ. And he's laying that out for us early. And then here in chapter 3, he begins to move to more practical aspects of living the Christian life. Now, several years ago, Don and I had the opportunity of going with Reflections on a tour in Germany. Chip Coley was the minister of music that time. Donna was playing for Reflections, and so I got to tag along as a chaperone and as a bus driver to get us to and from Atlanta. While we were in Germany, one day we were sitting in the little hotel. Donna and I were having breakfast, and Chip came in and he said, "Hey, Kenny, come here, I want to show you something." And so I got up, and we went out into the parking lot of the hotel there. And there in the parking lot was this tiny little car. I mean, it was a real car, but I'd never seen a car that was streetworthy that small. I mean, it was smaller than my desk over in my office. And there was some, you know, must have been an anomaly there in Germany as well, because some local people were around it, you know, speaking German. And they opened the doors, and obviously it wasn't locked. And so Chip jokingly said to me, "Hey, Kenny, get in that car." To which I said, "Chip, I would not get in a stranger's car in America, much less Germany." And then I said, "But secondly, I can't get in that car. I'd have to put it on. I'd have to put, you know, roll down this window and put this arm out and roll down this window and put this arm out and drive down the highway like this. It was such a tiny little car. I'd have to put it on." Well, here in Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul tells us to put these things on. Look with me, please, in verses 12 through 14. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves," is what the NIV says, "put on these things. Put them on and clothe yourself with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Now look with me on your outline here, and you'll see that I have two different columns for you with some numbers to fill in the blanks here. These are not going to appear on the screen, so follow along in your scripture passage and we'll go over these. First of all, we have the column on the left of holy living. So what Paul is telling us in this passage here in verses 12 through 14 is to put on these elements of holy living. First of all, he says to clothe yourself with compassion. Now, compassion is a strong biblical word. We see time and time again that Jesus has compassion on the multitudes. Oh, maybe he is pulled away for some time of rest and prayer, but the crowds seek him out. And the Gospels say over and over, and seeing the multitudes, he had compassion upon them. Compassion is a word of action that means you're going to do what you can to help that individual. Even the Good Samaritan does more than a minimum in showing compassion to that hurt and dying man. Paul says that we are to have kindness. You know, kindness is a word that is not used much in our society today, and we don't see much kindness. In fact, I heard someone say the other day, well, I'm trying to kill them with kindness. I just didn't realize it'd take this long. Kindness is simply common courtesy of being kind. Try it in your life and show more kindness. Gentleness. Of moving individuals in a very gentle way rather than forceful. Patience. Patience, number five. To show patience in all things. Often we're not very patient people. We live in a hurry-up world. Forgiveness. Paul spends some time here in saying that we should put on forgiveness in our lives. And we should be willing to forgive as freely as the Lord has forgiven us. And then finally, he ties it all up with love. Above all of these things, put on the virtue of love and bind it together in perfect unity. Now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. So Paul has laid out for us these elements of holy living. Now let's skip down to verse 18. And we see that he moves into rules for Christian households, or as I have listed it on your outline tonight, Christian families and relationships. And so we'll look at beginning with verse 18 and following. To begin with, he talks about wives. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. You know, in premarital counseling, I talk with a couple, with the bride-to-be and the husband-to-be, and we go over these passages of Scripture, and I say to the wife, in submitting, we're talking about respecting your husband. And respect is very important. And don't get tied up in this submit aspect of it. But rather, to the husband, I say, the husband is to love your wife just as Christ loved the church. And what did Christ do for the church? He died. He gave his life. Which is making the greater sacrifice here? Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Children, Paul admonishes children here to obey their parents, as he does many times. Here he says it's pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, the responsibility that you have in the home to not embitter your children, not exasperate them, one version says, but rather to encourage them. Don't bring discouragement. And then finally in verse 22, Paul moves towards slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do, not only when their eyes upon you to win their favor, but in sincerity of heart and reverence of the Lord. And then skip with me over to chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. And so slaves and masters would be 5 and 6, but let me ask you just to put a slash on that. And from slaves, let's talk about employees in the work environment. And finally, for beside masters, again another slash, and employer. That there is a responsibility to be a good employee, to work hard, to make an honest dollar, not just to work when someone's eye is upon you, but rather to do everything you can as a worker, a Christian worker in the workforce, and as an employer, to do the very best that you can, the most that you can for your employees. So Paul has instructed us to put on all of these things. And let's move on to number two. And we see that Paul uses Colossians 3:17 as a bridge in this context. A bridge in this context. When we look at these things that we're talking about here in chapter 3, we see that sandwiched in the middle of these two sections is Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This little verse relates back to what Paul has already said, putting on all of these characteristics of holy living, and it relates forward to those things that he is talking about in relation to our families and other relationships. Have you ever thought about the importance of a bridge? Extremely important. Now, Justin Law and I live in Prattville. And every morning we drive here to work. Most mornings, it's no big deal. I get in my car, my phone says, traffic light, 17 minutes to work. I'm coming to 305 South Perry. Some days, that phone beeps and says, traffic heavy, 35 minutes to work. Or choose another alternate route. Justin and I communicate a lot on those days. We call each other or we text each other, hey, check your phone before you leave the house, because we are generally coming down I-65 to get here every morning. But if there is a problem there, then our next choice is Highway 31, because there's this thing called the Alabama River that separates Autauga County and Elmore County from Montgomery County. And so we have three choices on how to get here. I-65, crossing the river there, Highway 31, and if things are really bad, we're going the toll bridge toward Millbrook, and if that doesn't work, we're going home. We're not going on to Wetumpka here. A bridge is extremely important when it comes to highway travel. What about the bridge in a song? When we think about the difference in music, to have one section of music that sounds a particular way, and then there's a section of the music that is totally different, and this particular small section provides life and contrast and movement to the music. Obviously, that bridge in music is important. Well, my friends, Colossians 3:17 serves as a bridge in this context. In fact, it bridges the gap between holy living and Christian families and relationships. And so I haven't left you much room on your outline, but try to draw a bridge between those two columns and write on that bridge Colossians 3:17. And when you're dealing with one of these family relationships our work relationships, you relate back to what Paul has told us about holy living and how we go about implementing these particular attributes in our life. It serves as a bridge and bridges the gap. Thirdly, Paul uses Colossians 3:17 to talk about the present. To talk about the present. Paul is writing about our lives here and now. Not in the future, but rather how we live in this way. And Colossians 3:17 is to be applied to our daily lives. We are to seek to follow Christ in every way and in everything that we think and do every day of our lives. He has included spiritual attire, or spiritual deportment, if you will, and applies those things to our relationships. As often has been said here from this pulpit, we need Jesus and we need each other. And Colossians 3:17 helps us accomplish that on a daily basis. Now, fourthly, if Colossians 3:17 talks about the present, then Paul uses Philippians chapter 3 to speak to the past and the future. To speak to the past and the future. Let me ask you just to turn in your Bibles back a few pages to Philippians chapter 3. Brad has already shared a portion of this passage of Scripture with us tonight. We see here that Paul begins by speaking of his past and those things that he has accomplished in his life. I'm going to start down here with verse 4b, again reading from the NIV. If anyone thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Paul has laid out for us his pedigree here in saying all of these things that I spent my life attaining, all of these things that were so valuable to me at one time, all of these things that meant so much from others and my peers in the Pharisaic group, all of these things are now rubbish and mean absolutely nothing to me because of the cause of Christ. In verse 10, he goes on and says that his priorities have changed. And now his priorities are to know Christ in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. So Paul tells us about his past. Secondly, he moves on to the future in verses 12 through 14. Paul writes, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on and take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Paul moves to the future. Notice that he says, I haven't made it yet. Not that I have already arrived yet. Paul understood that he had been saved, he was being saved, he shall be saved. Paul is saying that he hasn't made it yet, but he presses on. Now that little phrase, press on, literally means hot pursuit. Hot pursuit. Kind of reminds me of the old TV show, The Dukes of Hazzard. Any of you remember that? Yes, where Sheriff Roscoe P. Coltrane would be in hot pursuit of the Duke boys. And I've often wondered who would name their son Luke Duke. So here we see a comical example of being in hot pursuit of the Duke boys. But in this passage of Scripture, Paul is saying, this is what I'm in hot pursuit of. All of these things that once meant so much to me now mean absolutely nothing and are rubbish, and I am doing all that I can to stay in hot pursuit and to seek after and to press on after this. What are you in hot pursuit of in your life? Is it similar things that Paul lists out for us first of all here? Those things that are important from the world's standard? Or are you pressing on and seeking after the call of Christ in your life? Notice that Paul says, this one thing I do. He doesn't say, these 10 things I do. Or these 5 things I do. Paul says, this one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. The call of Christ to win the goal, the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So my friends, my challenge for you tonight is to press on in God's call in your life. And here's the application point on your outline tonight. Forget the past, face the present, and focus on the future. Forget the past, face the present, and focus on the future. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word this evening. Thank you for the fact that you're not interested in the past of our lives, but rather you're interested in the rest of our lives. May we take hold of you with our total being and press on toward your calling in our lives. May we do so all in the name of Jesus. For it is in your precious name we pray.